Say that, my goodness, this week has been a week, hasn't it? We've got so much going on and so much moving in our world. And, you know, the tragedies of last weekend still come about to this day, but it's such a hot topic. And we had a little bit of it in Sunday school, sharing on some things. But the understanding of, you know, the media and man and just everybody's wanting a reason. And as I shared back then, they almost started making me preach back there. And I had to hold up. I said, now you're getting into what I was wanting to share for Sunday morning. But anyway, it was priming us up, I guess. But as I shared with them back there, after that tragic event of last, I guess it was Saturday night, wasn't it? Into Sunday, whatever time it was. You know, the first things out of everybody wants to know is the motive, the motive, the motive. We always want to get to that level, and bless their hearts. I mean, you could imagine the tragedy of that event, as we all are aware of, and you know what I'm speaking of. And, you know, within just hours after, even probably 30 minutes on scene, you know, I'm sure they're asking the head of command or the sheriff or the head chief or whoever, like, what was the motive? What caused him to do this? And they look like, you know, we're just now, if you probably heard this, we're just now in the beginning of sorting this whole thing out. And there's a long ways to go. And the next day, what's the motive? The next day, the motive, the next day, the motive. Wednesday, the motive. Thursday, what's the motive? And I kept hearing them say the same thing. What? I don't know. There is no definitive motive that we can tie into to say, this is why he did it. It wasn't that he hated country music. It wasn't that he hated cowboy boots. It wasn't that he hated cowboy hats. It wasn't that, you know, all these things that we can kind of come up with thinking of why somebody would do something. You know, it's if it had been just a all women's event and all that happened, it would have been, well, he was down on women. If it was all men, he was down on men. If it was the, you know, the different lifestyles of today, he's a homophobia and he was just doing this. If he has ties to ISIS, he's just a radical Muslim, you know, and just a terrorist. But none of this is coming to light, is it? And many people out there are just, they're like living to find out why. Will we ever find out why? Maybe, maybe not. There'll be possibly some conjectures and thoughts and some possibilities of why, but they may never come to a conclusion. As I shared with them back in Sunday school, I should have had my Bible turned there. But know this, that in last days, perilous times, harsh, perilous is harsh, savage, difficult, dangerous, painful, fierce, grievous, hard to deal with. But know this, that in the last days, things that are going to be happening that are hard to deal with, this time is coming. This time is here. Amen. The time has been here not just last weekend, but it's been all from the very beginning of time, of the tragedies and the atrocities that have been taking place, of genocides, of how can they do this, how can they, even if they have a motive of why they do it, it still doesn't give them the good reason why they should do it, right? So whatever the motive is, it still doesn't say it's right for that person to go take those lives for whatever the reason that they think they've got a reason to do it. And we talked a little bit in the Sunday school hour, and it's like it was brought up, and you know, what happens if somebody would say, it was just my choice, my free thinking, I just wanted to do it. Don't I have a choice to do that? You know, it can really go down a slippery slope of where we're at as a society to try to figure out the motives why, and then we give the person a reason why they did it, and it's like, well, okay, no, there could be a possibility of people saying, oh my goodness, should have gotten help, should have been medicated, should have been in a hospital, should have been all these things, you know? I said back then, and I would say it today here, things happen because there's evil in this world. You don't have to have a mental illness. You don't have to have a reason why. The only thing is their mind cannot be thinking clearly. Their mind is seared, as the Word of God tells us. Their heart is hardened. Their heart is calloused. I'm going to tell you, you know, when somebody falls, like, you know, your kid would fall and, you know, they would expect you to get down and cry with them and all that. And some guys would say, just buck it up. Come on, be a man. Shake it off. Go on. They'd say, man, is that person what? Calloused. He doesn't really feel for his son or his daughter. He's, you know, now most dads would do that. But that's the callousness that we're dealing with in today's society. And it has always been there, folks, hasn't it? From the times of Jesus, prior to that, and now today. But, you know, if the churches would just come out and all of a sudden the thing would just say, there's evil in the world, there's evil that causes this, and the only way is to stop this is we've got to get right with God and have the power of God come in and the Spirit of God and the Spirit of God to just pour upon this on this land and change the hearts of the people. Amen. Change the mind. Renew the mind. We talked about that. Renewing of the mind. So many things that we all go through. But as we look at this, and I guess all this week it was just trying to figure this out. And I don't know. It's kind of jumbled in here. But it doesn't take long these days to hear about evil that's taking place in our world of today. Now, you can go and you can do searches and things like that. And like I said, this evil has been perpetrated from the beginning. It's just the severity of it. It's just the media and the notoriety of being able to find out right away and just keep pounding it and pounding it and pounding it and pounding it. The scenes played over and over on the news, the scenes day by day, still the same scenes, showing the people running, showing the whole situation before, the aftermath, the room, the broken windows. All this stuff has just been played. How often? How many times do you think that's been played through this past week? A lot of the news cycles, it's every news cycle is just replayed and replayed, and it's like they keep repeating the same thing. We don't know a motive, we don't know a motive, we don't know a motive, you know? Okay, let's move on and let them do their investigation. Let's let them figure things out. And let's move on to the point of praying for our nation. Praying for those people that were affected. Innocent people. Yes, it is very sad that innocent people go to those situations and some of them lost their life innocently. Others made it out. Others made it out with very probably life-changing, life-altering physical adjustments to be made. Many of them, and the day or two after, if you looked at watching them on TV, you could just tell as they were re-going over that, that their eyes were kind of like just glazed, or they were just staring off into the, you know, like just saying, yeah, all of a sudden I heard what I thought was firecrackers, and then I looked over and this person next to me fell on the ground, and I looked down and she had like blood coming out of her torso or her stomach. Then it sunk in, run, but I couldn't run. I was froze, you know, fight or flight. You freeze or you run. And you begin to hear a lot of those people sharing these things over and over. So there's going to be a lot of emotional things that these people are going to have to deal with out there. And it's going to take a long, long time. So anybody involved in it, from the hospital staff to the nurses to any of those things, it's going to take a long time to work through that emotional, mental flashback of what's taking place. And so that event, on that Saturday night, at 10 o'clock or whatever time it was, 9, 8 o'clock, 10 o'clock our time, it lasted for 9 to 11 minutes, 8 to 12 minutes, I don't know exact counts of things. But could you imagine in that time frame, even like if it was like a 12-minute scenario, what took place, the amount of time that it is churning on follow-up and reviewing and how it's impacted America since. We need to be in prayer. We need to be getting closer to God. Our churches need to be continuing into prayer. Our bodies of Christ, we need to join together. It's going to be a good time tonight at the citywide prayer. See what prevails out of that. But coming together to pray. When we look at this in 2 Timothy, it says, 2 Timothy 3, but know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. And it goes on and it lists what men, and it'll be women, you know, humankind, what this is going to be. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to the parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal. Despisers of good. Traitors. They'll be headstrong. They'll be haughty. They'll be joyers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Joyers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Joyers of pleasure. Feels good, just do it. Well, it's joy. I'm happy. We'll do it then. That's okay. Rather than being lovers of God. And it goes on and talks about that. But it talks about those perilous times, perilous men, is the heading in my Bible. Serious, immediate danger, perilous. So now when we look at the thought process of, we look at this time frame, and the first thing that came to my mind was, what's such darkness? Wow, just... Could you imagine overall the cloud that it would have sensed in the spiritual realm out there, maybe, of just like a darkness? And we have darkness in our land today, and it's getting darker, but because it's in the spiritual context, it's not in the natural, society doesn't see it coming, do they? What do you mean? Go out there and tell somebody on the street, dark times are here. It is dark right now. They look at you saying, where are you at, man? The sun's out, the sky is blue. What are you talking about, darkness? No, I'm talking about what God is saying and talking about the spiritual realm and the battle that takes place in the heavenlies. And then you know what they're going to do? They're going to commit you. They're going to think, oh, you're crazy. But then we're not crazy, are we? We're reading and seeing the things of what God has told us through His Word and His Bible. We're seeing it unfold day by day, event by event, hour by hour, situation by situation. I have gotten to the point where I hope I can get myself trained to where, like that tragedy of last week, that I don't want to come with the first thing that I say is, oh Lord, it can't get any worse than that. Because that's one of the things we say, isn't it? Oh boy, that was so bad. It cannot get any worse than that. And then a week or two or a month goes by, and guess what happens? We're right back to the same sentence. Oh my, I can't believe it can't get any worse than that. God's Word says it will get worse. You know, these are nothing. And it's not doom and gloom. It's just the understanding of where we're at, and it's understanding of where we are to take our rightful place and our role as Christians, as believers of Christ, as Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. We serve a risen Savior. We serve a God that created all of this and put all of this into the beginning. And yes, He could change and do it with a snap of His finger or just a wink of His eye or just a raise of an eyebrow. He could change the course of so many things. But there's a plan taking place that He had from the very beginning. And as I look at darkness, darkness was here before light. Now we're thinking of the natural, but if I go back to Genesis 1:2, it says that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Verse 2, the earth was without form and void, and what? Darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters, and then God said, let there be light. Now, you know, we're looking at natural light, darkness, and it was just all these things. But in the spiritual realm, darkness was there. But then who came to take and dispel that darkness? Jesus. Hallelujah. What light did was bring order to chaos. What do you find in darkness? That one song we talked about, something about the chaos, turn chaos. There's a lot of things that happens under the light of darkness, or under the guise of darkness. That's when all the things usually transpire that is mischief and robbery and thievery. But that used to be in the days when it was being done at night. Now, here again, times have changed. It's broad daylight. People will go out and do the same things that they used to do under the secrecy of night, you know, the chaos at night. Now they've gotten so bold, it's 2 o'clock in the afternoon, 9 o'clock in the morning, 10 o'clock, 3 o'clock, whatever the time is, daylight, they'll just go out and do it. But we find that normally in the beginning, to me, darkness allowed the chaos to come in. Chaos is created through that. Parallels to darkness, it is associated with evil. You know, if you think of darkness, evil, bad luck, or affliction. Human ignorance of God's will comes as a result of darkness. When we are walking in darkness in our spiritual life and we're just denying these things happening and we're just saying that, no, that's crazy, those people are a loon or whatever the case is, we are walking, those people are walking in a human ignorance of God's will, of God's understanding of what the result of darkness has done to them. It has clouded their thoughts, closed their mind off, hardened their heart, all these things we've already talked about. I don't know if we'll turn there. I got a lot of scriptures here, but if you go Job in 24, 13 to 17, I'll just tell you this. Darkness is associated with sin. When you speak of darkness, we think of sin, if you're thinking of the spiritual aspect and the things of God. When I think of light, I don't think of sin. When I think of light, I think of Jesus Christ coming into this world. I think of Him as the light of this world, and we'll get into some of that as well. In John 1, darkness describes the condition of anyone who has not yet seen the light concerning Jesus. John 1, 4 to 5 says this, "In Him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in what? The darkness. But what? The darkness does what? Does not or did not comprehend it. Darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend that light." Now the thing is, as we look at this, there's a couple of things here. Let me read real quick. To seize or lay hold of or overcome. Verse 5 could say, the darkness does not gain control of it. And that's good. Darkness, when you're talking about the light of Jesus, amen. Darkness, the sin, it can't overtake the light. Not of what Jesus is about. And normally we've found that out at times, and as you learn things, has anybody had dark come in and take away the light? No. I've never seen it too dark that light doesn't shine. Have you? I mean, it's just not really possible. But we can see where you can have pitch black, pitch dark, and just light a little match, and it'll illuminate tremendously. Light overcomes what? Darkness. Darkness cannot overcome light. Jesus as our light cannot be overcome by the sin and by the things that are taking place in this sphere of time. It's just not possible. It's not feasible. It will not happen. Because He is the light. So darkness describes the condition of anyone who has not seen the light. You can also go to John 12. What should I see? 12:34 tells me this. The people answered him, "We have heard from the law that Christ remains forever, and how can you say the Son of Man must be lifted up?" Who is this Son of Man? And then Jesus says to them, a little while longer, the light is with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. He who walks in darkness does not know where he is going. But while you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become what? Sons of light. Walk with the light. Walk in the light. I would say this, walk with Jesus Christ, the light of this world, and let it dispel the darkness. And how are we going to do that when we've had a tragedy and tragedies will continue? It'll just keeps going. We're going to have to walk in that level of understanding of who we are in this kingdom of God, and that we're going to keep persevering and we're going to keep going what? Forward with the light of Christ to shine and to dispel the darkness that is out there. Will they listen to us? No, probably not. But in one hand, if just one person does, hallelujah. All heaven will rejoice. One sinner comes home. If one person out of a million turns that direction to the light, hallelujah. Now the enemy would want to say, well, you only got one person out of a million to turn? That doesn't sound like a very good odds. I'm going to rejoice because heaven rejoices. We cannot put our eyes on the things of the natural. We cannot put our eyes on the things that we physically see because those things are temporal. We've got to focus on the things of the kingdom. We've got to know where our reward is at. I'm not doing anything on this side of heaven to get a reward from man or get accolades from some society group here. I am doing the things on this side of heaven because I just want to serve my God and try to do the best that I can in what He has asked us to do, and to not hide my light under a bushel, but be that shining light on a hill. Amen? And that's when these darkness and this gross darkness is coming about our land through these tragedies and these deaths and just things that people cannot wrap their head around. There's something's got to be done. There's got to be a group of people or some society out there or a group of our society that stands up and says, that's not good. And that is darkness, and that is evil. And I don't know what the motive is, other than I know the motive is that person was evil. Period. He's evil. She's evil. What they did was evil. I don't want to have to hang a hat on a reason of why to make it okay. That's probably why. And now we've got to fix something so that doesn't happen again. That's man, that's the lies of the enemy, that's the lies of the God of this world telling man, well, here, figure this out and put these processes in place and you can fix it and it'll be okay. It'll be okay temporarily until the God of this world, the devil, uses another scheme or another way to destroy lives and to expend his evil into this place. The devil is going around like what? A roaring lion seeking who he may devour, seek to kill, destroy. The devil did quite a bit of destruction this last week. Destroyed a lot of lives, hurt a lot of people, traumatized tens of thousands of people. That ripple effect out there goes across the land. There was people from Wisconsin there. People, I think, from Madison there, or at least somebody in Madison had people out there. It was a big event. And so we sometimes think like, oh, those poor people out there, but those type tragedies where they draw a massive crowd, it's an interesting type thing to begin to think about, thinking, oh my gosh, this ripple was only not just 2 or 5 or 20 miles around Las Vegas. This ripple goes from the West Coast to the East Coast, from the North to Canada, down to the Gulf. That's a ripple of affecting lives. Darkness is out there. Darkness will be there until the return of Jesus Christ. But we're not going to hide. And we're going to guard ourselves that we don't follow man and come into a reason to excuse it away, and maybe not excuse it away, but come up with a reason of why, so that somehow society can be blamed about it. They ought to just come out and say, it's the devil. But if you would do that, they would lock you up. Here again, somehow, when a Christian takes a stand for the things in the kingdom of God, and we call evil what it is, and we call who the god of this world is the devil, the people say, you're a kook, go up on the floor and medicate them. But yet we'll let a lot of whatever people out there that are doing some crazy things, and they're okay. It's their right. It's okay. It's a freedom. It's a choice. It's all these things. And God spoke to that way back in the Old Testament about choosing this day. God has always given us a choice, the choice to choose. To choose. Some of us have chosen well. And there are some, too sad to say, that in our society have chosen wrongly. Do you agree? Yes. Talks in his word that you're going to serve one of two gods. The God of heaven or the God of this world. For us here today, I believe we've chosen the right God. Amen? Amen. But I'm sad to say those out there, they've chosen the wrong God. And they may not even know that they've chosen the wrong God, but you know why they've chosen the wrong God? It's by a default. Because if they don't stand for God, the Creator, the God of heaven, and they think, I'm my own man, I'm my own person, I'm not going to bow down to anything, they just bowed down. And they didn't know it. Because they just bowed to the God of this earth, this world, the devil. Because the devil's very sly and very sneaky. We talked about that a little bit, and not necessarily that, but the conforming of our minds, conforming of how we as a society conform to so many things today, as like, before you know it, if I were to tell you what you're going to be doing and how you're going to conform to a society and what it's going to look like in your life 10 years down the road, if I could just snapshot that and say, this is where you are today. Now, believe it or not, 10 years from now, this is what you're going to allow and think is acceptable. You would tell me today, what? No way. No way that's going to happen to me. No way. I'm strong. Well, I'll see you 10 years from now and see where we're at. Because as we know, things change and progress little by little. It's a metamorphosis. You know, we talk about being metamorphosed and changing into the things of God, and it's like a butterfly. Well, I think there's a reverse to that, that we metamorphose into the things of the God of this world and what he's wanting to do. And before you know it, we've turned out to become something that we didn't think we were going to be about, because I thought we could be strong about. But little by little, we have given in. Little by little, we have stepped back as the church. Little by little, we don't pray for the government. Little by little, we don't pray for these people. Little by little, we don't pray for that or pray for this, because we think it's such it's so hard, it's insurmountable. There's so much going on. How can I pray for it all? If nothing else, sit yourself down and say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Pray something. And that's a pretty good prayer if you just let it go. But sometimes in our thoughts, we think it gets insurmountable. And it is on our strength and our power, isn't it? There's times I get like that. I'm sure maybe you do, maybe not. But when I look around, I just think it's out of my control. It is. I can't deal with it no more. I can't. But who do I go to? Where do I go that I know that can? To Jesus. Help me, Lord. Cast your burden. Cast your care. Cast your worry. Cast your weakness. Cast your sickness. Cast your anger. Cast your disappointment. Cast whatever it is over to who? Him. And let it go. And allow him to work on you. Well, talks about let's read my notes here. I got them all kind of scattered here. Let's see, where am I at here? Five, oh, no wonder it's not. Gosh, 5:14. Talks in walking in love, talks about walking in light in Ephesians chapter 5. Chapter 5 in Ephesians in verse 8, it says this as it begins, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in" who? The Lord. For you were once darkness. Now, as I look at darkness, there's a couple of different breakdowns of darkness. The word is used literally for physical darkness and metaphorically for spiritual, moral, and intellectual darkness. Darkness arises from error or ignorance. Darkness arises from disobedience or willful blindness. Willful blindness, that's interesting, isn't it? And rebellion. Darkness is an evil system absolutely opposed to the light. This is a particular definition in the Greek for darkness. Another one says this way, "Darkness is gloom and evil and sin. It's obscurity, it's night, it's ignorance, it's moral depravity." In the New Testament, it is especially used metaphorically to the following, "A sense of ignorance of divine truth, man's sinful nature, total absence of light, and a lack of spiritual perception." How many people out there do you think are walking in a lack of spiritual perception? A lot of people. Now the sad thing is, ladies and gentlemen, is I think how dangerous is that within maybe many churches? Many possible denomination things out there. I don't know, whatever you want to call it, mainline, denominational, large churches, small churches, denominational, undenominational, interdenominational, non-denominational. Think of all the potential things out there. I just really wonder if within our churches, how many is possibly walking in that area of lack of spiritual perception. Because in some of their trainings and some of their teachings and their denominations, they think that is crazy stuff. Spiritual things, that's crazy. That was only back in the times of Jesus. Now that's gone on. We're not getting into that stuff. We're just going to, you know, sing kumbaya and read these scriptures and just believe everything's sweet by and by and die and go to heaven. Don't rock the boat. Amen. Don't get spiritual on me. Well, we're a spirit being. Don't get spiritual on me. Well, I guess I got to leave this body, or I just got to leave. But the lack of spiritual perception affects quite a bit. But as I go through, let me just finish on here real quick. Where was that? 5:14. Oh, talking about 5:8. "For you were once in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth." Finding out what is acceptable to the Lord and having no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. That's what's probably missing in a lot of our things is exposing them or reproving them. "For it is shameful even to speak of these things which are done by them in secret, but all these things are exposed, are made manifested by the light." There's those times that people turn away from the light. John 3:19. How does that happen? We have to see where we're at here just a little bit. We're probably not going to get through this. And here's the sad thing. John 3:19. And it talks about, for in 17, it starts off, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God, that being Jesus Christ. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil." We've got somebody here that's going to help us. We've got somebody here that's our Savior. We've got somebody here that's going to bring us out of this miry clay and set our feet on something better than what we're in. But we're going to love the darkness instead. Because their deeds were what? Oh, don't say that word, Willie. Evil. That, no. That don't cover it. We got to figure out a reason. We got to figure out why. How come? They were raised the wrong way. Their mama didn't take care of that or this, or their daddy didn't do this or that, or their teacher. Teachers! That's another one. We can go all through society and figure out a reason why. And I'm still trying to figure out a reason why I'm like I am, and I can't put anything on society. I think it's just me. I can't blame my teachers. I can't blame nobody. I got to blame myself. That God put me together like this. Lord! Oh, it is. Yep. No, because our parents would have taken us out to the woodshed. Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil does something, hates the light, and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should somehow be exposed or should be exposed. But he who does the truth and comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God. To work, to be done, talks about to work, be busy, accomplish, carry on a trade, produce things, be engaged. Come into the light. Come out of the darkness into this light. But some choose to stay in the darkness. And I think we'll maybe... Okay, let's go to Colossians and we'll wrap up for today here. Let's see here. Colossians 1:13. This is going to give us a couple of areas. Okay, Colossians 1:13. Preeminence of Christ talks about getting down to 13. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed. Another word for that, conveyed or transferred us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. Give thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of... That tells me that darkness has power. As he's saying here, from the power of darkness. There is a power within the realm of darkness. It's not just dark. You know, we're talking spiritual stuff. The spiritual side of darkness is powerful, and there are forces in that that you don't want to play with or think like, oh, well, you know, we can do that, or I can do that. No, you don't want to battle those things unless the Lord has put you into that realm or you know what you're doing to the things of that. But power, he's delivered us from the power of darkness and has conveyed or transferred us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. We just had communion today. That's part of it right there. Why? We have been redeemed. Redeemed by the blood. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. And then one other area here. Let's just touch here. What's 2:17? 2 Peter 2:17. Well, no, I don't know what that is. These are the wells. Let's see. It's talking about hating the light brings condemnation. I don't have my note on that. Talking in that area, though, of deceptions of teachers. And so I guess that 2:17, if I'm in the right place here, these are the wells without water and clouds carried by the tempest for whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. It's deciding that the wells without water are the false teachers who, instead of offering what satisfies the needs of God's people, they're empty. You know, they're not putting out, you know, what the people are needing to hear. They're not really sticking along God's word. The heading of that, just above that, speaks of deceptions of false teachers. And that falls into the realms of hating the light. And hating the light brings condemnation. You know, and so as we go out and about in our lives and our daily walks, and we try to be that light and try to help those out there and try to direct them, share with them, testify to them what we've done or what God's done in our life, you know, we're wanting to help them understand where we're at with it. You know, we were all at one time in darkness. We were all at one time spiritually dead out there, except for us here today that have received Christ and had a new birth, a new creation, and here we are. Amen? But it's not just getting born again and receiving that. It's an ongoing development and growing and understanding, because the danger of that is many people out there, and maybe we're having some problems within what we think we have the church, is that many people have got that saving faith, a saving relationship, and they kind of said, well, that's good. That's what I was supposed to do. But they don't stay strong in the things of God. And they're not getting grounded in his word. They're not reading his word. They're not staying connected to him through prayer, through meditation. They're not staying connected to him through a church or through a fellowship or through Bible study or whatever the case might be. And you can do all these things singularly and by yourself as good and well and all that. But there's a time to come together and learn and grow and develop. But I think a lot of these have come to that point where I've got Jesus and that's good enough for me. I'm going to tell you, just because you got Jesus, the boat's going to be rocking out there. And where are you going to be when that boat is rocking? Are you going to be able to call upon him? Or will you be able to tell the waves to obey and just say, cease, you know, calm this boat down. But it gets back into maybe that darkness that's still part of that is that lack of spiritual perception of where they are at with God and where they're at in themselves and being able to be strong. So yes, I want to look at next week a little bit of how looking at the benefits of life, light, and the illumination of that and what the Bible helps us with in some of that area. And so we'll continue on with that a little bit more for that light.